Thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 7, verses 17 to 23. Jesus' reply, part 4. In fact, this is the concluding part of Jesus' response, his reply, to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who have been so bitterly attacking him and his disciples for their behavior. You remember the point was Christ and the disciples were not living up to the traditions and teachings and rules and regulations handed down over the centuries by the rabbis. Well, in the previous discourse, we looked at Jesus speaking to the crowd. Now, verse 17, after he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable, about his teaching, about his doctrine. The disciples, you see, didn't understand. They were such poor learners. Now I'm saying they. But William Cowper, you know, I keep quoting Cowper's hymn, "When my faith is sorely tried, I prove myself a learner yet." A learner, yes. Disciple, learner. And they were poor learners. I say they, I say William Cowper. What about you, brother, sister? What about me? Don't you notice how the apostles are forever reinforcing their teaching? I say this again, so that you may have it in remembrance after I've died and so on. You get all this kind of emphasis. Jesus repeats the doctrine. Why? Because we're such poor learners. Go through the Gospels and see how many times Jesus told the disciples that he would go to Jerusalem and be crucified, and they still didn't have a clue when it happened. You'd think, well, they would have understood. No. They're poor learners, or so are we. But at least they asked Christ about it. Verse 18 and verse 17. The disciples asked him. And Jesus said, "Are you so dull? You're a poor learner." But at least they'd asked him. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask him. I tell you, I too often ask men. Some men were dead. I ask them through their books and so on. I'm not saying a word against that. But the fact is, let us take it to God. God knows what he wants us to learn. It's a simple lesson here that Jesus teaches. "Are you so dull?" He said, "It's simple. Don't you see? It's not that which enters a man which makes him unclean in the sight of God. Because it's the heart that counts. And you can have as much food as you like, but it won't reach the heart. You can have wash your hands as many times as you like, but it won't touch the heart. There's no entering the heart there. That takes the Spirit of the living God, of course. We don't get all the gospel here. We're going to get it through the rest of the New Testament, but that's the teaching of it. God creates in us a clean and new heart. No, Jesus said, you mustn't get the physical mixed up with the spiritual here. He went on. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. What does he mean by that? Well, what his heart produces. We can't see the heart, but we can see his behavior. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. That's the news headline, is it? No, well, it is the news headline. It's what's going on, isn't it? But I just read to you, Mark chapter 7, verse 21 and 22. All these evils, there's no euphemism here. Oh, well, it's a bit of misunderstanding, falling short in the sense of missing. Just not quite getting it right. No, my friend, it's sin, it's evil, it's wickedness. And it is falling short of the glory of God. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't come up to God's standard, yes, but it doesn't give God the glory. It robs him of it. Psalm 51, verse 10. Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. What are those verses about? "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. Search me, O God. Try my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me." Yeah, the psalmist, David, and the both psalms, and other places too. These men know it by experience. It's the heart that has to be right with God. And it's sin. We don't want any euphemisms. Evil, wickedness, defilement, pollution, corruption. It's Romans 1 here. It's very strong, the emphasis in 20 to 23. Out of a man, coming out of a man, out of a man. Ek is the Greek word. Out of. It's what I am producing. And this is the great need that Christ came to deal with. He didn't come into the world to sort out green issues, pollution matters in the sense of the earth and environment and so on. I'm not saying these are not serious matters, but the great business of the gospel is not green. The greenness of the environment, it is the cleansing of sinners. It's the salvation of sinners. I'm afraid that evangelicals are beginning to move away from the gospel into this talking about green subjects. Well, the pollution of man is the greatest pollution of the lot. And the earth is in such a terrible state because of the pollution, because of the sin of man. Man is polluted and defiled and produces sins because he is a sinner. He's in Adam and ruined. Now, this is the teaching we've had in this passage. It starts off with an attack by the Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers of the law. But Jesus has opened it up and given us wonderful gospel truth, and we need to heed it and hear it today, my friend. Let's drop all our emphasis upon social things, material things, entertainment things, political things, and let's get back to the gospel, the power of the Spirit, the regenerating power of the Spirit. It's the heart that has to be saved. The heart has to be renewed. The heart has to be changed and turned. And only God's Spirit can do it. I will create in you a clean heart, a new heart, and put a right spirit within you. May God make us understand this, my friend. May we not be that slow at learning. May we not drift into these other subjects, political, social, and so on. And may we stand for the gospel and preach the gospel. The pollution, the ruin of man, the cure by the Spirit of God, the cleansing blood of Christ, the power of his righteousness. May all this bring glory to God, salvation for sinners, and edification for us, his people. May it be so. I address you as believers. I address myself. May God teach us by these words. And if any unbelievers are listening to me, oh, my friend, it's not the outward. It's not the external. It's not the ceremony. It's not the religion. It's a new heart you need. A new heart to be right with God. Not right with yourself, but right with God. That's what really counts.